Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
We'll look at the tape.
It's intentional grounding.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
All right, welcome into a winning edition of Intentional Grounding. Haven't had too many of these this season. Adam Hogue and Adam Johns here with you. Episode 69 of Intentional Grounding, the Henry Melton episode.
No love for the short-lived tenure of Jared Allen here for the Chicago Bears? No? Nothing?
No. My answer is just as short as his tenure. All right, let's dive into this thing. Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, on Twitter, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. And you can read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears. ChicagoSunTimes.com, that's where our post-game reaction is up. I kind of focused on almost, I don't know why, but I felt this need to take a bigger picture and look at the job Ryan Pace has done. Because I think John Fox has gotten a lot of criticism this year. A lot of it's deserved. Ryan Pace just doesn't seem to get that much. Or at least I don't see a whole lot. And maybe that's a sign that the fans kind of actually do understand what's going on here. Which is that I think there's progress being made with a lot of young guys, specifically through the draft. And I guess the point I'm trying to make tonight is sometimes you need a 26-6 victory over a horrible football team to see some of that progress.
You know, some of the players, Matt Barkley said it, Pernell McPhee said it. I don't want to say it was cockiness or arrogance, but they knew, and they said it, that they should have won this game. They knew they were the better football team. They knew they had the better matchups, the better players. Now they are only, well, 3-9 now. So, yes, take that with a grain of salt. But look, the 49ers are garbage. They're bad. They didn't respond to the weather. They didn't respond to a lot of things that the Bears were doing. But I get what you're getting at. You're looking at Ryan Pace additions, and I'm kind of writing this too for my Sun-Times column. Matt Barkley, Ryan Pace likes him. Played pretty well. Jordan Howard, his fifth-round pick, continues to play well. His best pass rushers today, Akeem Hicks, one of his free agent signings, and Leonard Floyd, his first overall pick this year. So if you want to call it a good game for Ryan Pace, it's a very fair column, Adam Hogue.
I just think that the 9-19 record this team has since John Fox and Ryan Pace got here is much more on the damage that Phil Emery and Mark Trestman did than anything that they've failed to do so far. There's been a lot of comparisons between the record that Mark Trestman had through 2 years and the record that John Fox is going to finish with, which I think they have to win out to even match Mark Trestman's record. I just don't think that's fair because Trestman inherited a 10-6 football team that would have gone to the playoffs had, what was it, the Vikings game, had that they may make or miss a field goal in week 17, and we're sitting there in the airport in Detroit waiting for that to either go in or not to see if the Bears were playing the 49ers the next week in the playoffs. And this whole thing has gone downhill since then, mainly because of what those two guys did in that time after that. So I just don't think comparing the records is fair. I think you really have to dive into what these guys have done, specifically what the GMs have done. And the reality is, in three drafts and 20 picks, Phil Emery drafted two good football players in Alshon Jeffrey and Kyle Long, and a couple okay football players in Charles Leno and Pat O'Donnell. Ryan Pace has already exceeded that through 15 draft picks in the last two seasons. When you look at Leonard Floyd, when you look at Jordan Howard, when you look at Cody Whitehair, when you look at Eddie Goldman, and still have hope for Kevin White.
You know what the kids call that these days, Adam? You're throwing some shade on Phil Emery and Mark Trestman.
But it's fine. But that's someone's got to take the blame for this crappy record. And I believe that it's much more on the previous guys than what these guys have done here. And you look to me, and I've said this multiple times on this podcast the last couple of weeks, these last five games really started with the six games left. They're all about individual performances continuing to build this roster. And I thought today, the only difference is that they won a game handily, but there was progress being made. It was evident. Sometimes you need a W to actually see what's going on, because Leonard Floyd has actually strung together five or six good games in a row when he's actually been able to play. Eddie Goldman, every time he's out there, looks like a Pro Bowler. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy. So there are positives, and there's just, I think all the negatives stem from all the mistakes that were made over a three-year period with the last GM.
Well, I get what you're getting at, and I agree with you 98% of what you said, I agree with. Yes, you look at some of the – I think the Bears' record should be better than it is today. You know, I think they blew a few wins out there, the Jaguars game, the Colts game. Those are the ones that come to mind. Now, are they – a playoff team, no, but my expectations of them were of an 8-8 team. So I think they should have. I think they should be closer to that right now. But I get what you're saying. My takeaway from this game is just one: how I don't care about the draft pick, right? People obsess over where the Bears are picking. People call this the game for the second overall pick. Who cares about? There's not much of a difference between a second overall pick and a fifth overall pick. Teams get those wrong all the time.
I agree with you, but the only thing I would say is that there is a difference in what you could potentially get in a trade.
I know what you're saying. Okay. Still, no one's trading up for the second overall pick this year. Who would be going? Exactly. It depends on the draft. There's no Carson Wentz this year. Does Mitch Trubisky, whatever his name is, from North Carolina, all of a sudden become a combine hero and everybody moves up in the draft to get him? All I'm saying, yes, I know Carson Wentz emerged late, but you could still get that evaluation wrong and blow that pick. It happens all the time. The Joel Quenneville once gave us this great quote years ago when I was in the Blackhawks beat. The importance of winning is important. Sounds crazy. Doesn't make a lot of sense until you really think about it, is because you want to have a good culture, a good foundation here. You want stack wins, and you want your young players to contribute in those wins. And that's what the Bears, starting today and maybe a little bit last week against the Titans, hope to have for the remainder of this season.
I will agree there's something to be said for building a winning culture. And if you're not going to, you know, end up with the number two overall pick, it is, you know, there can be positives gained from winning, you know, some games down here down the stretch and learning how to win. That is important. And I also agree with you that what I'm saying is more about the GM and the job he's doing. I actually agree with you. There should be a couple more wins on this record this year, and I think that falls more on the John Fox side of things. But more, even more so than that, just some players that didn't make key plays in moments where they could have, whether they're young or they're just not that good, because the reality is this was a roster that was really devoid of talent. What Ryan Pace and John Fox inherited, and for whatever reason, they're reluctant to call it a rebuilding thing, and that's what this is, a major, major rebuild that continues. But let's talk about a guy that I don't know. Maybe he turns out to be the steal of all the Ryan Pace moves that he's made. I'm probably not. I don't know. I'm still skeptical. But this Matt Barkley thing certainly is interesting, because it's not like he's coming out completely out of nowhere. He was a huge prospect at USC. He was a good quarterback at USC. He was a one-time first-round draft pick consideration before he went back for his senior year and really just had, I don't want to call it disastrous senior year, but he didn't win the Heisman like he was supposed to. He got hurt at the end of the year, and it just didn't all go the way it was supposed to. But there is some pedigree here. And from what we've seen through two starts against not great football teams, it's pretty positive. And at a minimum, you at least got to give him credit for that.
He Look, it's the Titans and it's the 49ers. I think you got to have that important context. Next week in Detroit will be a much stiffer, better competition, especially playing at Ford Field. That's not an easy place to play. And the Lions are a much better team than they were when they lost to the Bears several weeks ago. So I don't want to get too ahead of myself. But for a second start on a snowy day against the team that loaded the box to stop Jordan Howard, with receivers who still have problems catching the ball, you, Josh Bellamy, he's been impressive. I'm trying to reel in my impressive feelings or how impressed I am of him because of who they are playing. But this is a guy who wasn't on the team until the first week of the season, spent the entire year really up until last week as your scout team quarterback, literally running cards, running set plays so their defense could prepare. And here he is playing awfully well for the Bears, again, against the Titans and against the 49ers. But I think it means something, not only for him personally, but it speaks to the coaching of Dal Loggins and Dave Ragone and who he is as a player.
But here's the thing. You have four games remaining. All four teams have playoff hopes. All four opponents are trying to get into the playoffs. Three of them are divisional opponents. So he's going to get tested here. And there's no need to jump to conclusions. You got to like what you've seen from Matt Barkley through 2 weeks. It certainly looks positive. The ability seems to be there. He doesn't have Jay Cutler's arm, but he may have better decision-making than Jay Cutler. And ultimately, that's a positive. Going on the WGN Radio post-game show tonight, Dan Hampton brought up a good point to me, or at least a good example in this game. There was early in the game, he threw a screen left that Kadeem Carey dropped, and it almost bounced up and got picked off. It was a dangerous situation. The next play, they went to the right for a similar screen. He kind of rolled out, and it wasn't there. And instead of forcing something, he tucked the ball, spun back to the left, had room to run, and he ran out of bounds. He was short of the first down marker. It was third down. But they punted. But in that situation, that shows good decision-making that maybe Jay Cutler hasn't always had, where maybe he forces a ball there and throws a pick. Just something to think about. And it's certainly a good start for Matt Barkley, who kind of talked about his first two starts in this league and where his confidence is. Something I asked him, and he answered. Let's hear from Matt Barkley after the game, a guy who's clearly gained some confidence in the last 2 weeks.
I could tell that we were playing for each other at that point. We guys were striving for every yard. They were winning on routes, had great protection. I think across the board, that's when we started really to gain momentum. And we carried that through the second half, especially with that opening drive, which I think helped the rest of the game.
Were you surprised at all that you were able to be as sharp operationally because of the conditions in that situation, especially after going through the whole first quarter without a completion?
Yeah, it took me a quarter or so to get used to throwing the ball with those conditions. I really had to adjust my arm angle and almost push the ball out instead of flinging it because your thumb will slip out. But once we got used to that and we were still calling plays, we didn't really hold back on anything in the game plan. Plays were open. Guys were getting open. I think the conditions gave us an advantage on offense, given the traction the DBs didn't have when they were trying to cover breaking routes. So I think that helped. And, both in the second half and at the end of the first.
Those are the worst conditions you've ever played?
Some of the worst. Yeah, I think the field, too, just got sloppy because it wasn't too cold to where the snow was sticking. So it just got sloppy. I did have to change my cleats to get more traction. But we made it work. I mean, Jordan was running the ball hard. I think both traction and covering routes, but then in the run game, too, helped Jordan find holes, and he was running hard. So we made it work.
This is a season high for you guys in points scored. What was the mood like? The huddle, sidelines, and the locker room afterwards?
I was telling guys to keep pushing it, and we knew that we were capable of winning this game, and we knew that we had the personnel and the matchups to win. And so guys were believing that. I think especially after that two-minute drive, guys, the whole sideline was feeling it. And so just reminding them to keep pushing tempo, We were sticking with our rules, with our game plan, and it worked. So, yeah.
There was a time even in the second half when you guys ran two-man route and still had single coverage. Were they bringing everybody up because they thought you guys were going to just keep counting?
Yeah, especially in the personnel that we had where we were run heavy. We knew that was coming, so that was kind of an adjustment mid-game, actually, to where we did call a deep play action and guys were running wide open. So props to Dowell and the whole coaching staff for really getting us ready, but then making adjustments like that during the game. Probably an all-time high in this league, and just knowing that I can play, knowing that we can make plays as an offense, and I'm not holding back. They're not holding back for what we're installing week to week, and so I know what we're capable of, what I'm capable of, and hopefully we can just keep pushing this, keep the same mentality that we did last week, coming off a loss, of wanting to get better, striving to perfection. So that's what I'm going to be focusing on and pushing these guys to, is to keep that same mentality this upcoming week.
How good was it to see Josh catch make some of those big catches after the drop last week?
Yeah, yeah, he needed that, and he came out to me and said, "Keep feeding me," and I'm not going to stop. I'm giving those guys the balls because I know they can make big plays, and whether we do have drops or not, I'm going to keep coming to him to DT and whoever's in there. We have to make plays, so not stopping.
What did he say to you after the third down to the post where he was behind the defense? I mean, that was a question.
Yeah, that was a tough one. It's one of my bad type things. Again, I'm not going to stop coming to him. I don't want them to get their confidence shot from me, and I want them to know I believe in them and that I'm going to keep coming back to them for the rest of the year.
You mentioned the protection. Overall, what stands out to you about the way this line, whether Sittin's in or out, you've got some moving parts,
yep,
the way that they play together and keep playing?
Yeah, they do play for each other. The communication is great across the board. We're all on the same page. We all know where our eyes need to be, where our feet need to be. They've been doing a great job of giving me time, and I think we've done a good job of getting the ball out and getting the ball in the hands of guys who are making plays. But even on some of those deeper play action calls, I mean, they're because of how we've been running the ball and selling it, it's been easy on them, and they're able to hold those blocks a little longer.
What do you think of your game, just the way you threw it?
Again, it took me a half pretty much, but I thought I was seeing everything clearly, seeing everything perfectly. Wish I could have one or two balls back, that one of those first deep balls to the sideline that just slipped out of my hand and sailed out of bounds. A few more, but overall, I think given the conditions and how we move the ball down the field, well.
Is it something where you can feel the learning, you're going up the learning curve, whereas last week, the way you talked about them disguising some coverages, then this week you get back in there and see a new defense, but you're getting all these reps.
What's the question?
Is that you can feel yourself kind of going up the learning curve,
yeah. You
can feel yourself building from one performance to the next.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's always the goal, is to build week to week. No matter how old you are, how long you've been in this league, seeing new fronts, new looks every week, always just put them in the memory bank and grow week to week. Yeah.
How good of a fit is this offense for you right now?
I think as good as it can be. I feel really comfortable with Dow's mindset and how he's calling games. And he knows me and my strengths and my weaknesses. So I think the fit is good. And I think, Rags, our QB coach, has helped me tremendously get to this point, spending extra time after practice, extra meetings. The combination of those two guys have really helped me, I think, fit into this offense well.
There was some comments on the other side. They thought maybe you handled the weather better than the guys playing your position on their side. What allowed you to be able to do that today?
Like I said, I think it was just a mid-game adjustment to holding the ball and throwing the ball a little differently. And that didn't phase us calling plays. We still were able to push the ball downfield, even with that two-minute drive. So I don't know what was going on the other side, but for me, it was just a little adjustment to hold the ball, to touch the ball better.
When did you make that adjustment?
Somewhere in the first half. I don't know a certain play.
It was before that two-minute drill? Or
probably, yeah.
Matt, your first win the NFL starter. The significance of that, is this particularly special? It's been, 3 years at least since you've been in the league.
Yeah, it is special. And I think it's even more special just given the fact that this team needed a win. And so that's probably more special than mine. The fact that we need to just keep this momentum going, keep that mentality of always wanting to get better. So it is special for me to get that, but hopefully it's the first of many.
You started your career with Philadelphia. Did Chip say anything to you before or after the game?
I didn't see him before the game, but afterwards definitely saw him and said a little something. We're on good terms, and you know, I'm grateful for the fact that he brought me into this league, so no hard feelings at all.
So there you have it. Matt Barkley, after the Bears win 26-6, his first career victory, and giving the politically correct answer after the game that he just feels good that the team got the victory.
So he's already mastering the art of the post-game press conference. That's good for him. That goes back to USC where he was a star. So, look, if he plays like he did today, and again, it's the 49ers, and again, it's the Titans, I mean, he can make for an interesting case to come back next year. I mean, you have to reset. So, I mean, Jay Cutler is the only quarterback under contract next year. You have to re-sign Brian Hoyer. You have to re-sign Matt Barkley. I think you have to re-sign Connor Shaw. You have to draft that next quarterback. So Barkley here is really, I mean, he's maybe the most important thing to watch, because if he plays pretty well over these next four games, again, Ford Field, you got the Packers, you go to Minnesota, you got the Redskins coming to town, and they have playoff aspirations like you were alluding to earlier. I mean, Matt Barkley, if he plays well, makes sound decisions, he could very well earn himself a new contract with the Chicago Bears.
It's true, and it's, hey, at least it's a nugget to watch here in these last 4 weeks. Something significant, though. I don't think we're overreacting here. This is something that very, very much could, I don't necessarily say determine, but it's definitely a factor in the future of Jay Cutler. It's definitely a factor in how you look at the draft, depending on who's available. You don't want to force a pick that's not there. If you have a top five pick and there's not a quarterback worthy of that, you don't want to end up with Blake Bortles, who should never have been drafted where he was. But those things happen because teams get desperate for quarterbacks. The less desperate you are, the better situation you're in. And maybe that Matt Barkley helps that here in these last 4 weeks. It's something to watch. And let's also keep this in mind. It's really quite amazing. This guy's out there throwing to Josh Bellamy, who, if he catches two more passes today that he dropped, Matt Barkley's numbers look a lot better than they show. I mean, Barkley played better than his numbers show today. Cam Meredith, Deontay Thompson, and, I mean, Daniel Brown? I mean, these are the guys he's throwing the football to. Marquise Wilson, who was the best guy he had last week, gets hurt on his first throw, his first target today. It's amazing that he's doing this with the guys he's throwing the football to.
I was going to mention Marquise Wilson because he wasn't able to build on his game. But who's got the best hope of making the team next year and being a solid contributor? Probably Cameron Meredith, who showed pretty sure hands on the snowy day. You know, it's not the first time he's played through weather like this, being from around here. I think he played in a nasty game in some playoff game for Illinois State a few years ago in terms of weather. But look, it's all part of the context and the narrative that the Bears are going to take in consideration. Alshon Jeffrey will return in a couple weeks. Zach Miller's not, but you'll get Alshon back, and you'll have a better gauge almost of what Matt Barkley can do when he's got a top-tier target to throw to. Alshon Jeffrey tilts the field. He changes the Bears' offense. Now, will Matt Barkley force the issue to him like Jay Cutler is known to do, or will he continue to spread the ball around? Either way, it's a dynamic that the Bears want to have, and it'll help with their evaluation of him down the road.
Okay, let's get to our player of the game here. You could certainly make a case for Barkley. I think his game was better than the numbers show, especially considering the conditions. And let's remember, this is a kid that grew up in California, went to USC. Not very familiar with snow, and performed pretty well today. I'm going to go with Jordan Howard, though. The average was still only 3.7, but this is a game where They're loading up the box. You're forcing the run as much as possible because of the conditions. He gets 32 carries, which is it's like finally he – you know, the Bears are 3-0 when he gets more than 18 this year. And he runs for 117 yards, 3 touchdowns, ran very hard. I thought it was a little odd how they were still giving him the ball late in this game when it was already over. Why not get a better look at Jeremy Langford, who only got one carry in this game? But he's my player of the game.
My player of the game is Akeem Hicks. You know, the Bears' defense was dominant. And again, I'm trying to keep reiterating, this is the 49ers. They are just as bad as the Browns, probably. They're that bad. But Colin Kaepernick had played great the past 4 weeks. He's run wild the past 4 weeks. He's completed passes the past 4 weeks. And the Bears, they kept him contained. They were on his case the entire game. And to me, it starts with Akeem Hicks. 10 tackles. Some of those are combined. 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, 2 quarterback hits, and a forced fumble. That's a Ryan Pace acquisition. You mentioned Ryan Pace earlier. That's a great, great game from one of his biggest free agent signings.
Yeah, it is. He's really been a home run and a great addition to this team. And you're talking about the defense. Leonard Floyd, I mentioned earlier, continuing to build. He already has a sack strip and touchdown back in Green Bay a few weeks back. Well, he adds a safety today. 2 sacks. The first one was kind of questionable in the way they scored it. But the second one was a legitimate, impressive sack. A great, great move he put on the right tackle. And he continues to look good, too. And by the way, Nick Kwiatkowski, 9 tackles today, 2 tackles for loss. He's got his hands on 2 passes. I mean, that was a pretty solid game by him today, too. Remember, this Bears defense playing without Jarrell Freeman and Danny Freeman, Danny Trevathan today. And that makes the defensive performance even better. All right, let's go with our biggest concern, I guess, going forward. I mean, it's kind of hard after this game to get too crazy, especially with the way the season has gone. But I guess the wide receivers still. I mean, Josh Bellamy, 2 more drops. That busted your bold prediction that they'd only have 1. And Marquise Wilson coming up with a groin injury. He had a chance to kind of continue to show ability, but the guy just constantly hurt.
Yeah, I was going to mention Marquise Wilson as my biggest concern because I thought this was a guy, a young guy, who, even though he's in his 4th season, I think he's only 24, who could be part of the conversation to be a receiver here again next year, who has the potential, who could make contested grabs, who could go up and get it in a way not like Alshon Jeffrey, but better than other guys on their roster. He could be a great receiving threat. I mean, Eddie Royal is probably not going to be here next year. You need receivers, and this guy could bring a lot to the table. And his look, we give Alshon Jeffrey a lot of grief for not being able to stay healthy, but Marquise Wilson's worse. I mean, yes, the broken bones are a thing, but there's always something with him in terms of keeping him off the field.
He's also not as good of a player, so it's harder to put up with it. And that's why, you know, his contract's up at the end of the year. It's just kind of hard to imagine this regime that didn't draft him continuing to give him chances. But I do think they like him. I think they like his ability. They've kept him around despite these injuries. But yeah, it's just a kind of a tough situation. And one more concern, just because it can't be forgotten about, the special teams were terrible in the first half. You had a block punt that got returned back to the 4-yard line. And an amazing celebration penalty for the 49ers, considering they didn't even score a touchdown. But also the NFL just being ridiculous, penalizing the team for doing snow angels. You can't have any fun in this league. And then what else? You had Deontay Thompson fumble a return to. The special teams just weren't very, very good in this game as well.
See, that's not a coaching issue to me. Yeah, yes, you got to drill the fundamentals in these guys. But when Brent Broniker is completely caught off guard and he can't make the block that leads to a punt block, and even the play before that, when he races out in the field, doesn't know he's part of the punt team, and they get a delay of game. So that's on him. It's on Deontay Thompson to maybe go down and quit fighting for yards that aren't there. Obviously, you're getting eaten up. Obviously, you're going to be stripping the ball. just go down. So, yes, Jeff Rogers, the Bears special teams coordinator. I mean, we're gonna point fingers at him on Wednesday when we meet him. But to me, it's on the players. Sometimes these guys have to make the right decisions. And in Ben Broniker's case, he just needs to develop and be more aware of what is going on in the game.
All right, and finally, biggest answers, wrap things up. I'm going to go back to Matt Barkley. He passed the test for me. I mean, I had doubts. I wanted to know if he could, throw the ball confidently, make some tough throws against tougher coverage than he saw in the fourth quarter against the Titans last week. And he started a little slow. I think a lot of that was the weather. He said he had to make an adjustment with how he was holding the football. But also, I mean, they weren't even trying to throw the ball early. They get that two-minute drill right before halftime. He pinpoint passes. He carries that into the second half. More confidence. And so for me, just in terms of this week, he was the answer.
I don't know if I have a biggest answer in this game. Like, the 49ers are worse than the Bears, but I think the Bears have always been better than the record shows. Maybe not a lot better, but at least a couple more wins better. Colin Kaepernick, maybe that's it. I don't think he's the answer for the 49ers. As good as he had played the past 4 weeks, he stunk it up here. He was bad. I mean, some of the throws he missed, it wasn't even close. For all the intangibles that you consider for losing football teams, they did not respond to this situation whatsoever. The 49ers is who I'm talking about. The Bears took it to them, and the 49ers kind of cowered and kind of gave up, for the lack of better words, and that's why the Bears came out with a 20-point win.
Yeah, if I'm Chip Kelly, I'm getting on the phone with Oregon tonight and changing my mind. They want to give that guy $10 million to come back. It's a lot more money than he's making now. He can go back and win, be happier at Oregon, not deal with a dysfunctional organization, a GM that's hard to get along with, an owner that's hard to get along with. I'm shocked that he's not making that move if he doesn't, because this just isn't going to end well in San Francisco, absolutely. So how about that for an answer? Go back to Oregon, Chip. All righty. And by the way, speaking of Chip Kelly, Matt Barkley said he talked to him after the game, and no hard feelings there. Guy drafted him. He's grateful for the opportunity. But kind of interest. I wonder how Chip Kelly felt seeing Matt Barkley kind of tear up his team today at Soldier Field. That's going to do it for us on episode 69 of Intentional Grounding. Again, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, and the podcast at INT Grounding Pod on Twitter. You can read our post-game reaction at ChicagoSuntimes.com, WGNRadio.com/Bears, and please subscribe for free on iTunes. Rate and review the podcast. Things are going to be a little bit different this week. I am taking some time off for personal reasons for my family. Maybe I'll dive into the specifics later on publicly, but I will not be here this week. Mark Carman is going to fill in on the podcast, though, so there will be a podcast this week, so you can still look for that later.
All the best wishes to your family, but you could have... Come on. Think of your podcast partner. You stuck me with Mark Carman? Seriously? Unbelievable.
You guys will get along just fine. I'm not going to let him make my picks for me, though. I'm going to email those in to you guys or something.
No. If he's making your picks. Did I catch up to you yet?
You did gain a game on me. So I think I'm only up a game. maybe I just won't make picks this week. Maybe that'll help. All right, so there will be a podcast this week. I will not be a part of it, but still look for it. Mark Carman will fill in. He'll do a great job. And I appreciate all you listeners. As always, you'll talk to Adam and Mark Carman later on in the week, and I'll be back sometime soon.